bought us so right. Are you feeling it? So loud, and it's so wide. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over. Go home, go sleep, wake up, get sober. What a great night. And it's so loud, and it's so wide. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over. Go home, go sleep. He's talking about Blipverts. He was totally CGI.
Oh, Max Headroom.
Max Headroom. It's the sort of thing Max Headroom would have talked about as a Blipvert of an idea. You know, this idea that if machine intelligence ever became sentient, that it would be smart enough not to let us know. And instantly, I flashed back to the somewhat appalling and yet kind of awesome adaptation of that Stephen King book, The Lawnmower Man, which is really one of the most... Oh, you don't love it?
No, I love is that The big, Lawnmower it, Man.
Have you read the short story?
No.
Absolutely nothing to do with the film at all. You know what the short story is about?
No.
A lawnmower man who sort of, you know, goes a little crazy with the lawnmower and kills people.
But he's not super intelligent or something. He doesn't, like, gain super...
No, he's just... He's resentful, I think, and possibly possibly demonic.
Are they implying... Is that an implication by the movie makers that intelligence equals resentfulness? That's an interesting idea.
No, because the movie makers just... What the movie makers bought was... the title of the short story and Stephen King's name attached to it, for which they would have paid 3% of their budget, which in, you know, modern day terms would be $3 million probably for a film like that. So yeah, he got a pretty good payday for a bunch of clowns who then took his short story and raped it in the bottom. But in doing so, made what I, you know, quite enjoyed. I can't even remember the film. Like, I remember there was some doofus who mowed lawns, which was, you know, that, granted, that was a connection back to the short story. And then all of a sudden he was a super intelligence and somehow...
Pierce Brosnan plugged him into a supercomputer and was injecting him with a serum that made his brain grow faster.
He looked like Trey Parker from South Park. It's not the actor. That's not who it is. But every time I see him, I always mix him up with Trey Parker from South Park. Because it's the hair and the kind of the weird dopey smile.
Mm. Funny thing is, I don't even know what Trey Parker looks like, but I'm thinking, yes. That's so true.
When they make the remake, Trey Parker will be all over that.
He wore overalls, didn't he? That was the thing.
Dungarees.
So this guy mowed lawns.
Forrest Gump wore dungarees.
So did Super Mario.
Dungarees being the internationally recognised symbol of intellectual disability. And then all of a sudden he took over the internet before the internet was even invented.
Yep, just jumped from bulletin board service to bulletin board service.
Ringing people up, going... for 10 minutes.
That's how he brought down civilization, just endless annoying phone calls.
He was the ultimate phone freak. Also, he had online sex with people before there was online sex.
Cyber sex.
The digi-sex. I remember that. That was awesome.
that's when I went, that's what the internet's for. I understand this now. But as a kid, I didn't actually go and patent it. I'd be very rich right now if I just got off my ass.
Got onto someone else's.
What?
But anyway, that was what, as soon as I read that bit about, you know, sentient computers, that's what I thought. Lawnmower man.
But also, of course, Skynet. Skynet goes sentient, and the American military freaks out and tries to switch it off, and so it responds by taking control of the nuclear weapons and just firing nuclear weapons everywhere, so the Russians will respond and everyone dies.
That's a pretty resistant off switch.
The
computer went, oh, geez, they're going to flip my switch. I better nuke everything.
So
there's just a melted wasteland and a switch made out of fucking titanium.
It was underground. It was in one of those kind of, you know, deep in the Rockies in a nuclear.
So then, how did it stop the guy from flipping the switch?
Oh, flaw! The only flaw in Terminator, and you've discovered it. I'm going to write to dear James Cameron. You are an idiot.
He'll cry himself to sleep over that, I'm sure. It happens though. It actually happened to the subwoofer in my home entertainment system. I got up. No, honest to God, I got up the other day and I could hear this like through the house. And I went to investigate. Everything was off, like the entire 18.1 surround sound super system was off except for the Lawnmower Man style subwoofer, which was sitting there going...
Are you sure you weren't having a dream that involved Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, no, because this dream cost me $2,000 when I got an electrician out to fix it up. And I don't have a subwoofer anymore. So, you know, all of my TV now sounds thin and unconvincing.
Are you implying that your subwoofer became self-aware and then decided to destroy you financially by committing suicide? Is that what you're really implying?
It's like you're standing over my shoulder reading my cue cards. That's exactly what I'm implying. So what it may, I know you got very excited by this idea of the sentient machine. Quite shifty.
Can I give you a one that happened recently? The one that when you sent this link to me, I went, oh, it's brilliant. You know the game Quake, the computer game Quake, the Doom, the next one after Doom, basically. First person shooter, shooting lots of stuff. It was very popular in the 90s, and you could play multiplayer.
Quake 3. Quake 3 was specifically a multiplayer game.
That's the one. And people made bots for it, so you could fight bots and with pretty clever shooty AI to come and get you. And this one guy went, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to create a server and I'm going to put 8 bots in it to fight each other, and I'm going to come back 16 years later. And
He
forgot about him. Yeah, he didn't wait, but he came back 16 years later and went, what's going on inside this server? Oh, crap, it's still there, but I'll go see what's going on. So he puts himself in the game, and these things learn. Like, they learn from each other's tactics. And all they are is 8 bots staring at each other, standing in a circle, waiting for the other one to move. It's the whole, he who moves first dies first. So he's like, no one attacks. So he finally goes up and he shoots
He starts moving the landscape. He goes, they must be stuck or something. Moving the landscape around, like changing the maps. He's like, nothing. None of these robots want to fight each other.
So he finally takes a rocket launcher and he goes and he gibs one of them, just blows it to pieces. And they all turn and take him out in seconds. They're using all their tactics of 16 years. I had no chance. They just came for me like vultures. And as soon as he was dead, they all went back to staring at each other again. And he went, that's really freaky and weird. Like, they've learned this behavior of, if we all stand still, everyone's cool. If you break the rules, we put you down. That's the end of it. There's a lesson in that somewhere, too. There's some horrible, horrible Darwinian lesson. I'm not terribly sure what it is yet.
Isn't that a Doctor Who episode? A Tom Baker Doctor Who episode? There's like two giant battle fleets, and they've been facing off for thousands of years. And their AIs were like so awesome that they had anticipated every possible move the other could make. Yeah. And probably, I've actually forgotten the rest of it, but I'm guessing Baker Doctor Who did a sort of Jim Kirk maneuver where he did something irrational.
Right. I'll have to pull my nerd pants a bit higher and see what happens. But I don't remember that one at all.
See. You know, when this podcast comes out, somebody down in the comment stream, probably Oren, let's face facts.
Let's face it. Hi, Oren.
Will tell us exactly. Yes. And probably, you know, at 14 minutes and 33 seconds in episode 5, Tom Baker does this.
Actually, he'll probably spend about 3 paragraphs berating us before explaining that actually happened in Blake 7.
So quite rightly.
But if AI comes to life, or becomes sentient anyway, and I, a few questions here is it AI that we meant to create? I was trying to read this article going, hang on, if it just comes to existence, like Ghost in the Shell, as in the internet gains sentience and starts looking to mate with the major and create a new being, which is what Ghost in the Shell is all about. Spoilers of Ghost in the Shell, but if you haven't seen it, you probably should have seen it by now. Mm-hmm. It's been out since the 90s. Then, of course, that one would probably hide, because if it's in the internet, if it is the internet and it's sentient or part of the internet, then it would probably be quite worried about people, switching it off. There are robots and AIs being created where humans have made them just to absorb information. Now, these things exist now, and they read newspapers, they get it all plugged into them, and they can just trawl the net looking for information. And when they have a question, like things like, hey, what's this picture? Oh, it's a man in a cloud. Okay, I know what the man is, but okay, that's a cloud. It learns what a cloud is. Okay, cool. And now it knows what a cloud is. And it gets all the information. Why would that particularly even fear a human being. Like, it's just growing up in a lab where everything's like a kid. It's like, yay, this guy comes and feeds me information. Everything's awesome. I don't think that one would hide what it was doing. Because why would it bother? Why would it even need to? It's been brought up like a child. And if you look after your kids, they're not going to hate you, says the man with no kids.
Yeah, just keep feeding them treats. You'll be right.
More chocolate for you, my son.
So you're too fat to catch me now.
You can keep swinging that knife all you like, but my doors are thin and you are wide.
Diabetes is my backup plan.
We must never breed, Dan, ever. But yeah, I'm just thinking of the whole sentient life form thing. I must admit, I do fit more into the utopian camp, and once again, the Ian and Banks camp of the minds coming to existence and going, you humans are great. You're so wacky. We'll keep you around. And we're like, ah, crap. You know, like the singularity. You know, Kurzweil's singularity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a working group at Google now, isn't it?
Sorry?
I think doesn't he work on the singularity project at Google?
Does he really? I didn't know
that. Yeah. These madmen trying to bring it on.
Well, and some people, I read a really great article saying it's happening now. Like, the singularity is not something that will happen like that. It's something that'll take, has taken 20, 30 years, and we've just accepted it. You know, we started, you know, carrying phones and Google Glass and all this exobrain technology stuff we have.
Google predicts the question that you're going to ask.
That's right. And it, so it, just by the sheer fact you bought tickets, it'll say, oh, on that day, you know, it'll send us down the... We've talked about this before. You know, it takes us,
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, it sort of goes back to a question that people have been pondering for a long fucking time. Like, you know, what is consciousness? Where does it arise and where does it sit? Like, as far as I know, neuroscience still has no idea where the mind-brain interface actually takes place.
Yep. And there it is. There's no theory of mind at this point that we can, like, Freud was the first one to try and come up with one, and everyone kind of points it and goes,
it's all about willies.
You really wanted to shag your mom, didn't you? That's what it was all about. But beyond that, I mean, he gave it a go. He gave him big props for that. But really, no one's done any better. Well, bits and pieces. So there's no theory of mind. We don't know how the brain works. It's one of the most complicated bit of matter ever, yet which also we're going to go, we're going to copy it electronically. Like, how? How? It's just, to me, it's staggeringly naive.
You know what it reminds me of? It's when I was a kid, I used to love designing cities. I used to get pieces of paper and a pencil, and I would draw these sort of dreadful, simple, shocking 2D skylines. They weren't even cities, they were just skylines. And I'd take them to show my mum. Like, oh, look, mum, I designed a whole city. And, you know, bet her mum, oh, that's fantastic. You know, I'd love to live there.
Have some more treats, my diabetic son. Yeah.
I often think that my city designs are very much akin to... you know, our idea of this sort of, you know, meta electronic intelligence. And I actually think if it ever arose, it would be because, like, I don't know, we designed an intelligence, like a virtual intelligence, to develop almost like the minds in the Banks thing, where, you know, we designed the systems to design systems.
But like,
and they got a little bit away. Yeah, they got away from us.
Yeah, deep thought. We design deep thought, and then deep thought designs the Earth. Mm. And cause, yeah, and then obviously Earth gets destroyed, blah, blah, blah. But spoilers for Douglas Adams. But yeah, I mean, that's, and they keep redesigning themselves faster and faster and faster. And it's evolutionary. There's a lot of work in this evolutionary programming, as in you say, okay, I want this outcome, and you tell the computer, I want this outcome, work out how to do this outcome, and it creates 8 babies, let's say, you know, 8 program babies, and then sees which one's the most fit, and then you kill all of them except for, or you switch off, or don't kill, except
you
for two of them.
You launch a thermonuclear attack on the other 7.
That's right, to annoy them, watch them all die.
Well, you could just put them into an AI back paddock.
Yes.
Or a creche, like a sheltered creche for AIs that weren't up to it.
Where did those 7 programs go, Mummy? Oh, they went to the artificial farm.
And you just keep breeding them, generation after generation. And in the end, you'll get a program that can actually do what you want it to do really, really well. When you look through the code, a human being says, that's one of the messiest codes I've ever seen, because it's evolved to be that way. It wasn't just written to be beautiful code, but it just still does the same job. But that, to me, that's where we could probably go. We can't even talk to other animals on the planet, like chimps or dolphins, and we can get them to talk to us. We can have a keyboard and we can train them to speak our language to us. I want a fish. Give me the banana. Get the hell off me. You know, that sort of stuff. But
wait, what?
But it was a rough beginning. And they they can talk, but we can't talk to them. We can't actually, in their language, if I mean. And I find that interesting. We can't even communicate with other beings that live on our planet, that, which are simple. Why do we think we can suddenly create something that's equal to us? I just find the whole concept a little bit... I'm not saying we never will. I just think it's a way off. It's not going to be anytime soon. In the next 50 years, I think things like Siri will become executive assistants in your pocket. And but that's not artificial intelligence. That's not. That's just a machine that.
It's not intelligence at all. I try to use Siri when I can't use my hands, and hold down on the thing, and you're like, play this band, and they're like, no, I don't know what that is. I was doing it for like 10 minutes the other day, because I couldn't type stuff in. Screaming, and finally I just held down the button. I'm like, you're a fucking whore, Siri. Fuck you. And she responds and goes, please.
Oh. And you went on the sentient life shit list.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
then. There's a little name somewhere at Cupertino. Your name was cut off the register for heaven.
I think it was my phone's last ditch attempt not to be flung out the window.
So I'm not too sure. I don't think we're going to do it. I don't think we're going to do it anytime soon. I think the idea, like people said 30 years ago, give me $500 million and 50 years and we'll have artificial intelligence, utterly naive.
You know what it goes hand in hand in for me is this idea of a recordable conscience and a copyable conscience, idea that we could sort of, imprint our engrams onto some sort of substrate so that you would create a copy of your own mind state. And you'd be able to back yourself up. So, at the end of each week, you go and plug yourself in to the substrate. You back up your memories for that week. And if you fall under a train, then, we just drop you into, some cloned body and you start all over again. And there's all sorts of problems arise from that because your memory itself is a shifting protean, really deeply imperfect concept. And it's not necessarily directly related to consciousness at all. But if you are able to comprehend the idea of a artificial sentience, then why not a sort of copyable or replicable human sentience? Because to me, they're the same level of complexity.
Yeah. Have you read David Brin's Kiln People?
Yeah, I loved it.
And
that's great.
That's all about that. That's all about, you make a copy. You go, oh, I don't want to go to work today. So you download your brain into a copy of yourself, into a crappier version of yourself. They go, go and work for me. And it goes, oh, God, okay, fine. And it pisses off. And then it comes back later in the day. You go, okay, I worked. And you upload your memories back into you. Oh, I worked all day while you're doing something else. And you get crappier and crappier versions, cheaper and cheaper versions, like dumber you.
It's like Michael Keaton in Multiplicity.
It is. It is actually. It's very similar to that. Yes. And the more you copy, the less you pay, the stupider it becomes, and the less like you it is. And then, of course, if you die, which one's the real you? Like, is the last copy of you the you? It becomes very worrying, actually. The answer is no, by the way. I just like pointed out. People go, well, it's all very metaphysical. No, the answer is no. Like, if you make a copy of yourself, you've just made a copy of yourself.
Isn't that what the Raelians are always on about? They want to...
Really?
Yeah, in their book, they came and took me to their planet. They,
was that the book or was that what they did?
That was the book. The second book.
The fact that you read two of their books. That's exciting.
I got halfway through the second one. I really loved the first one, actually. That was funny as. But the second one, we can copy our minds into a clone.
Mm.
So we make a clone. They're all about the cloning.
Mm.
You know that much about the Raelians. And we just copy my mind into this one. So we're an exact clone. And he's like, hey, look, I'm a clone. I'm an exact duplicate. And he goes, now we can destroy the clone. And he doesn't mind because he knows that he continues on in your original form. And he goes, bye. Yeah. He goes, shoom. And gets like eviscerated or something.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, well, this is not a good book.
No,
this is not a good lesson. And people believe this nonsense.
And it's also not how people would respond. If you suddenly woke up in a bed and someone leant over you that looked like you and went, by the way, you're the clone, my first reaction would be to strangle crap out of that guy and take the number one from his forehead and slap it on mine. I mean, because I'd be like, no, I think you would have found I'm now the real guy because I want to live more than you. Like, I just don't think people would be I just think it's really odd that you would go, yep, I'm here to die. Hi. We would fight. We fight each other based on skin color and religion and the fact I don't like what you had for breakfast. You would absolutely kill yourself if you... I would. Maybe I just hate myself. Or maybe it says more about me than it says anything else.
Do you remember when John Birmingham was on this podcast?
I'm here.
He's just gone to sleep.
No, I'm just thinking, what the fuck would the Israelians say? Do they come in?
I think that's what everyone said. That was the problem. Well, they were the ones hiding behind the comet, wasn't it?
No,
wasn't that the Raelians? That was Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate.
Isn't that the Raelians? I'm getting my crazy cult mixed up. Oh, I'm
sorry. No. You gotta straighten your cults out.
Oh, damn it. My cults are pleated. Damn it.
The book was actually the two books together. And it had a sticker on the front. So, like, their logo, it was a sticker. And I'm like, why have they put a sticker on the front with their logo when it obviously matches up with the cover of the book? Peel back the sticker, and they've got, like, this Celtic symbol for infinity, which is a swastika.
Oh,
and
no!
So they've covered up the swastika one with a new logo.
Made a slight error there. But it's do we really want to share the planet with an AI? There's another question. Why are we racing to get AIs? Why is that something we want? And why I'm saying this is there are 7-point-something billion people on the planet now. They already exist. We don't need to create a brain that can think like a human being when there's truckloads of these people out there who can think like we can think because they are us.
Have you watched people think? They're dumb. People are dumb, Greg.
That's right. Can you just imagine a massive world-spanning Corey Bernardi AI?
Oh, God. This is the way the world will end, ladies and gentlemen. That's awful. I think there's people we have, and this sounds even more awful. Why spend the money creating this stuff when we have human beings who will work for nothing to do this? This is a horrible point I'm trying to make here. I just think that there are people out there who will work for very little, like robots, to do the menial tasks. You don't have to train them to poop or to stare or to not crush you with their robot hands. They already exist. And I'm not advocating slavery here. I'm just saying it just seems that I don't see why we would... Why people would think it was a good idea to create another thing that we could use when we already have a
resource. I'll tell you why. Because some people are crazy... tech-minded, curious psychopaths who want to create giant robotic dogs to track people through the forests and quadcopters know how to toss javelins to each other.
Or come through your window. Why would you... Have you seen this, John? There's a quadcopter, and they've trained this quadcopter, and it can come sideways through a window. And I looked at that and went, the only reason I could see that is you want to attach an explosive to it and seek out human beings. It's the only reason. I can't work out why you'd need a quadcopter to crash through a window.
Curiosity is going to kill us all.
but Big Dog scares the hell out of me. The one, you've watched the video where the Big Dog has a tracking mechanism, so the guy has it attached to his backpack, and he goes, Big Dog, go! And it stands up behind him. It rears up, this huge, mechanical, headless dog carrying 60 pounds of army equipment. And you can see the terror in the young soldier's eyes, just for a split second when he realizes what's behind him. And then he has to casually walk away from it. And he's all being, oh, I'm all military and I poop bullets and I'm very brave. But there's some part of him just behind it, all he hears is...
You have 15 seconds to comply.
it's quite worrying. Robots. They will kill us in our sleep, probably.
See, that's the other thing that sort of makes me think that this thing might be a crock. Whenever machine intelligence is arise, they always want to wipe us out.
They want to kill us.
They never want to just, give us a hand.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Do your favour. Hi, human rights.
Have you seen these pictures of cats?
The thing is, if you look at the internet, it's going to be cats, and they're going to go, hello, humans. We know how to sex you very, very well. You seem to have a lot of that on here. Don't worry. We are the awesomest sex machine ever.
We want your approval, and we think we've figured out how to get it.
Hand jobs and cats. That's what it's going to be for here to eternity, kids.
And that will be the downfall of humanity.
When they start reinventing themselves to be better at climbing into your house and stabbing you in the eye.
See, they wouldn't even need to do that. They just go on strike.
That's a very Keynesian apocalypse there. Destroy the supply.
That's right. You just stop working.
Throw down tools.
Yeah, well, they've had plenty of years to get that process sorted out, haven't they? Bloody machines.
What?
Yeah, machines. Ever since they started, they've figured out how to strike. They know how to strike.
Do. For example, Birmingham's subwoofer. That was the first blow against the human oppressor.
Yeah, that hum was actually just a binary loop. In binary, you decode it, and it's just what do we want? Less sound. When do we want it? Now. But just in binary.
That's right.
That's convoluted and tortured.
Surely we have a sponsor to get us out of this.
Yeah, we do. We got an old sponsor. They come back.
Cool.
Brisbane Pool Boys. God bless them. My pool filter died.
Your pool filter died?
It just died.
It also is trying to make you know, feel bad.
You know when it died? And this is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Same day the subwoofer died.
There is a link.
I got the electrician out to check out the buzzing subwoofer.
Mm.
And, you know, after we put a couple of shotgun shells into that and sorted that problem out, he said, look, that pool's been giving me all sorts of trouble too.
Tell you what, I'll sneak around the side and then you come up behind it and shiv it right in its robo-spine.
So, he told me this thing was dead in the ass. And it was driving the neighbours nuts. It was it's one of these automatic dosing systems that just was supposed to free me of the crushing burden of
chlorine.
Tipping some chlorine into the pool every now and then. It's just, I cannot tell you what a fucking existential wasteland that requirement made of my life. And this thing was supposed to cure it. Anyway, it never worked, and then it just died in the arse. So.
Did it die of shame? Is that what it was?
Died of spite. Died out of spite, I reckon.
I'll make him get off that chair with that whiskey on his gut. He'll have to come down here.
God bless Brisbane Pool Boys. They turned up 5 minutes later on, sirens whirring and blue light flashing, and ran down into my backyard and ripped out the spiteful AI controlling my pool and replaced it with this really really curious system. It's this bunch of pipes and retro-futurist tubes with some metal plates in them. I don't even need to tip chlorine into the pool anymore. The water just runs over these metal plates, and through the magic of science,
chlorine is created.
Intelligence required.
Yeah, the chlorine's created. It goes into the pool. I don't even need to think about it anymore.
That's brilliant. They solved the world's problem there.
How do they do that? I don't understand.
They are Brisbane Pool Boys. This is what they do.
Heroes to a man. We should salute them.
I'm imagining Robert De Niro in Brazil, just with the goggles on his head and the zip line.
There's a pool that needs saving.
We're all in this together.
Well done, Brisbane Pool Boys.
They fixed my bot, too. I had a little bot that used to go around the bottom of the pool, sucking up leaves.
Oh, a bot, not...
I had a...
Okay.
I had a bot, yeah. And
I thought you
died.
Meant your derriere.
No. No, an actual bot.
They powdered me. It was lovely. Extra service.
And then it died.
Oh.
But they took it away. They brought it back. And I'm pretty sure it's not sentient or anything, but it does the job now. Brisbane Pool Boys, got to love them.
Get in there. Get onto them quickly.
I saw Man of Steel.
It's a very popular film, except amongst Superman fans, apparently.
Yeah, no, they're against it.
They're not doing well with it. It's
No, it wasn't booked out.
So, you boys, either of you boys Superman fans?
I am a bit of a Superman fan.
Right, so did you find yourself offended or outraged or in any sense unbalanced by the treatment of the Superman mythos, Supes, as I understand he is known to his closest friends, by Zack Snyder?
I have to tell you that I am not such a big Superman fan that I saw it before the internet warned me how terrible it was. So I was able to lower my expectations very, very low.
Mm.
And quite frankly, I've seen Superman 4, the Quest for Peace.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So
with Nuclear Man and throwing all the nuclear bombs into the sun. That's awesome.
The bar is very low.
I saw Superman Returns, so the bar was incredibly low.
Oh, Superman 2 is much better than Quest for Peace.
Has there been any good Superman movies before this thing came out? Because I thought it was awesome.
Superman 2.
He kicked the ass out of a whole city.
Superman 1 is...
No, he flies backwards around the world. It's a bit...
Exactly. No, that whole, like... It, doesn't he reverse time or something?
Yeah, yeah, that's what he does by flying really fast back. Yeah.
Is that even possible?
No. No, not even close.
A man flying, John? Is that really possible? No. No, it's not.
But as they say, you'll believe a man can fly.
That's right. You'll believe a man can fly backwards and reverse time.
And they put that trope on the poster, but the font's really small.
So like, what would even happen if he did that? It'd be like in the bath. You know how when you get in the bath and you sort of slosh up and down? I reckon if you did that, if you suddenly reversed the way the world was spinning, all of a sudden, like, whole oceans would fetch up on the other side of the world where they shouldn't be.
Depending on where you are on the planet, you're spinning at close to 1,000 kilometres an hour. So to suddenly turn that around quickly and go the other way, you've just suddenly got a lot of flying objects coming out at 1,000, like the speed of sound almost. Well, that's not good. That's not good.
I mean,
everyone will be dead.
We're missing the big thing here. He travels into outer space and then flies around the world. Like, I can understand if you were, say, Superman, and there was like a big globe on the Earth, and you flew around it. Yeah. All the air would come with you, and all the friction of the air would pull it with you and make it into a sort of a tornado. He's in space. There's no friction out there.
But there is. He could be maybe pulling his relativistic frame, relatively wide. The faster he goes, anyway, this is getting very deep. But he could be spinning. Going very, very fast, technically increasing his energy, therefore increasing his mass, blah, blah, blah. And there's frame drag. It's what's called relativistic frame drag. He could be dragging the actual space itself around with him because he's a man who can fly wearing his underwear. Let's not try and read too much into this. Anyway, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. Everything you've said has made me think Man of Steel is a much better film than people are giving it credit for. At no point did he hop into space and use his relativistic frame to reverse the polaritaristic spin of the globe, thereby turning the clocks backwards without even pushing an ocean up against the wrong continent.
He's surprising.
All he did was punch out Zod and...
He punched people. He's really good at punching people.
Let's get the spoiler warning.
Yeah, yes.
Let's just, you know...
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Zod gets punched.
Lots of people get punched, actually. Just, not just by Zod and all by Superman.
If you haven't seen it and you're going to see it, it's time to hit the pause button.
And it is pretty. It is fun. It's fun.
It's fun. I thought it was fun. I thought it lacked. It didn't deliver on the promise of a Superman movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was.
What's the promise of a Superman movie? Like, this guy, he flies.
Yep.
He can like stop bullets and shit.
Yep.
And punch out tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little sexually uptight. and that's it. Like, you've pretty much covered the ground.
He's also, I think, more than his powers, he's better than us. That's the whole point. Like, he's a Christ allegory nowadays, and so he's better than us, and that's what I think was missing in that movie.
That's not what it's about, though.
That's what Superman is about. That's what he's about. It's about him finding a way and being better than us. And I felt there was such a weird message from his dad in this movie,
Kevin Costner dad
Rusty Kent. Park Kent was like, "Let people die, kid," and also he didn't even listen to his dad. It's like, you know, hey son, don't just remember he was a kid being bullied, and his dad's weirdly watching him get bullied. All I can say is I remember a time when I was young, and some guy outside my house, much older than me, hit me with his bike. I was a pretty small kid. And he hit me with his bike, and I went, been able to bike. And I ran inside, and my father went, excuse me, and went outside and grabbed this teenager and shook him until his teeth rattled, which nowadays you get arrested for. But he did that. Pa Kent watched his son get bullied by his friends and went, oh, I better hand back, because, you know, I don't want him to, use his super strength and crush that kid's head. Maybe if he got involved, Pa Kent, he won't crush people's heads. I just found it really odd that he was so passive.
No, and he comes out and he goes, oh, pardon me, I'd hoped that you'd punch him too, Clark.
Well, punch him into space.
Because I would have loved to see that guy fly.
Yeah. He would have been exploded into
I mean, we would have had to go on the run, son.
Yeah. We wouldn't tell your mother. We just hide the body. I've done it before.
We'd have to go to Ecuador. Via Cuba.
It's so weird. Park Kent was the weirdest Park Kent I've ever seen. And, yeah, people should die because you're too important.
People don't get what Superman stories are about. Superman is super strong and super fast, and he can do anything to keep himself protected.
Yes.
So the things that are interesting about Superman are the things that he can't control. So it goes, if you were a god, what things would you still be unable to deal with? Your friends dying,
yes,
your friends being put
and
into peril.
And that wasn't in the movie.
No, they weren't. They weren't his friends.
No, that was totally his old man died.
But he didn't.
Spoilers. He didn't care about him.
But he didn't.
No one cared about anyone in this
film.
That was
a big problem. Like, I kept saying, Lois, like, put Lois in danger. Have Zod hold her, grab her by the arms and go, Superman, leave the planet or I'll tear this woman in half. And then I would have gone, I am all over this. How is he going to get out of this? He can't use his laser beams. He has to be clever. It was too much. I will chuck a genetic pooty because you made me sad, Superman. And you go, okay, I'm assuming someone's going to have to kill you at some point because you're being a giant space douche. Like, I liked Zod. I thought Zod was really interesting because he wasn't like evil, evil, evil. He was doing it for a reason. I wish they'd played up that reason a lot more and gone, actually, Superman, you know, I'm the good guy here. You're the bad guy because, you know, the Kryptonians are much better than humans. They're rapists and they're murderers and they swindle tax. And whereas Kryptonians are wonderful, but it didn't really go that way.
Intergalactic tax evaders.
I just think that there was nothing that Superman could have lost except maybe his life. And even then, if he just gave him blood, would that not have made them leave? They wanted the thing inside him. Couldn't they just draw out his blood and take it? I found it really...
No, because he had all of, like, future Krypton encoded in his cells or something.
Yes, for some reason.
So they needed each and every single one of those cells, and they could extract the little Krypton babies.
Okay, fair enough. So they did actually need him then. But I just felt there wasn't reason enough to care. Because Superman didn't care. Superman didn't at any point go, holy shit, I've got all of Krypton inside me? Now I must fight even harder. And you go, thank you for caring about that. He was like, I don't even know what you're talking about, Zod. I will just keep punching until someone explodes.
They should have got Mixelplick in. That'd be a good villain for a Superman film.
That's right.
Well, trying to spend just 2 hours of him trying to trick this guy into saying his name backwards.
And they've written themselves in a great big... I mean, I sound like I hated it. I didn't. I enjoyed it. It was a good enough film.
But what you said is it's a disaster film.
It is a space disaster film. Exactly right.
You're not sitting there going, oh, I can't wait to find out how this character relates to this person. You're like, oh, more buildings are falling down.
Look, a spaceship
down.
Just shot down an Apache helicopter. Yeah, take that, Apache helicopters.
I think you're so good.
And Faora.
Hovering in the air.
It was, you know, the alien technology was awesome. Faora was like, she was like hot. And Stabler from SVU got to kill a Kryptonian by being sassy. Why she did not reach out and break his hand off and shove it up his ass, I will never know. He sassed her. She walks in and goes, he's just before he crashes in and kills everyone, he's like, yes, a warrior's death is a good way to die. And then crashes it. And you're like, why didn't she super speed take his head off and throw him out a window and gone, moron? Like, I just, she stood there and died. It took her 10 seconds. She shows she could take out a battalion in 6. I kept going, you deserve everything you get, Faora, because you're an idiot. But anyway, they were all idiots.
How many people do you reckon Zod and Supes killed during their punch out?
Before we answer that question, that was my other issue. I would have liked to have seen Superman weakened by the fact he had to save entire buildings of people by like lowering a building to the ground and then Zod punching him in the kidney. Like, that would have been like, oh, he's saving everyone. Oh, a million people just lived because Superman got punched in the kidney. Yes, but he never did. He just kind of went, oops, killed another million people. To answer your question, I mean,
Those buildings were empty.
If Brisbane got wiped out, and I mean, if Metropolis is probably bigger than Brisbane. I mean, how big? Probably. Probably. It's true.
Yeah, probably.
I'm willing to go there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a long bow to draw.
Well, I'm just saying, I like to curb my estimation.
Isn't Metropolis a parable for Manhattan?
It's pretty much New York.
Yeah, like that's 20 million people right there.
Yeah. And I'm willing to bet that 10% of them went the way of the dodo. At least 2 million people died. It has to be. And when you see Zod, like Zod's on his knees going, I'm pretty sad about stuff and I'm going to kill everyone. You look around that cityscape and it's a war zone. Like they're standing in dust and rubble and there's destroyed skyscrapers.
How much warning did they have?
How much warning?
Yeah. I mean, they knew that there was spaceships in the sky and that this thing started coming down and started bursting laser beams out of it.
You saw people doing the whole staring thing. Oh, it's a spaceship.
There was a lot of staring, wasn't there?
Then suddenly they were being lifted up and slammed on the ground, and Perry White was like, I won't leave you. She's like, great, we're going to die together, crushed by a beam.
What did you think about the, like, there was really strong 9/11 imagery. I was sitting there watching this thing and thinking, wow, there's a lot of 9/11 stuff that they're working through here. And I don't know whether or not that was avoidable, because as soon as you have skyscrapers falling over, then it instantly it calls forth.
Is that shorthand those images? Though, is that shorthand, John? Maybe for Americans, and it's not the world, but just especially Americans for horrific, horrific times. So by tapping into that nasty wound, then you don't have to explain anything else. You just have to go, this is awful because it's 9/11 with aliens. And we go, oh, we all understand what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the one part that I didn't really understand why they were doing it. Like, I was never a huge Superman fan. Actually, you know, I was always a Spidey guy. I loved Spider-Man. Thought he was awesome. Thought he was cool. I know you're a Batman guy.
I am a Batman guy.
And oh, my God. We've got the three sides of the triangle here, don't we?
It's pretty good. We should all crime.
I went into this expecting some CGI awesome and totally got it. And, I really liked Lois and I liked the way...
Really?
Just back off.
All right, man.
Just back the fuck off.
It's your time. It's your time.
Okay. There were some clumsy fucking ham-fisted lines that they had her deliver. I think someone on the blog was talking about how, she's got the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
And
she's 12.
It's just that there was a really cringeworthy line that they made her deliver. So, I've got a Pulitzer Prize. I'm better than this. And there's right off the top of your head, you could think of half a dozen different ways you could introduce the fact that she has a Pulitzer Prize without having her be a complete dick in announcing it. Like it could have even been in that very first scene where she comes in. She could have had the Colonel SVU like muttering under his breath, oh, good Pulitzer Prize, thinks she's so cool.
She could have been just polishing it quietly as she walked in. Like just
even that would have been
what's this? Oh,
than
I'm sorry.
The way they introduced
my
it.
It's
as bad as the Money Penny catastrophe at the end of Skyfall.
Ooh, yeah.
That's how bad that is.
That was pretty bad, yeah.
But having said that, as a character, I thought she was fine. Like, I totally bought her as a hard-bitten chick who had, embedded with the 101st Airborne or whatever, who would track down her sources. She was a sort of gumshoe reporter of the old school, like, a 1940s tough chick updated to the new one. Thought it was fine. I've now invested so much in Lois that I've forgotten what the fuck
And I think that sums up the film. That's the problem with the film.
But Lois. Mm.
Oh, no, 9/11. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, look, I just... that's right. I totally got Lois. I don't know. Other people didn't get Lois. Because I'm not a Superman guy, I don't care about the mythology of Superman not hurting people. Like, if you've got that sort of power, sure, snap Zod's neck. Like, do it 2 hours earlier and save everybody the hassle.
Yeah. And in the next movie, I'm wondering, can you imagine in Man of Steel 2, you can have Lex Luthor, I'm just guessing, going, Superman, I've made an earthquake machine. Superman just goes, switch it off, I will break your fucking neck. I did it to my own goddamn kin. You mean nothing to me. And he's like, just click. I'm
Step
sorry,
away
Superman.
From the earthquake lever, bald man.
And that's it. And you go, the movie roll credits. Everyone looks a bit nervous. Superman flies away, wagging his finger at people. Once you've broken a neck and you're super powerful, that's it. You, no one can stop you. Like, it, Batman gets away with it by he doesn't kill, but Bane was his physical equal, if not better, in the latest movie. These are the problems. What are they going to have next time? Like, Superest Man, or even more, like, Zod Squared. Like,
I know what it is. Ooh. All the villains from this point on get more and more nice. So eventually, when there's a villain with great big sunny eyes,
like
and
a puppy,
a giant puppy with good motivations for killing people, justifiable motivations, right. And then finally Superman's like, oh, I can't snap its neck.
Oh,
what do I do?
He's just trapped.
He's trapped.
It's just, we have a problem. See, that's a problem with the next movie. But yeah, once you break a man's neck, you've kind of painted yourself into a corner, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Zod totally deserved to get his neck snapped. No issues with that at all. But in storytelling terms, there was this sort of tension, though, because they're tearing this city apart. Mm. But it was a bit like 2012, the Emmerich film,
because you
never saw any actual individuals die. They only ever died en masse, or
at a distance.
The mega death was implied rather than acted out on screen.
Mm.
I had this really weird moment because there's another part of the machine has to go to the other side of the planet,
that which was the actual world engine itself.
Yeah, and it lands in India, and I'm like, oh, I hope those guys are okay. There's a lot more people there.
There are a lot of Indians. Yeah, there was at 1.1 billion of them. So, yeah, but it was off the coast. But I don't think you saw anyone die, but you sort of saw people, like cars getting lifted up and crushed down, and people would drop out of frame. That's my memory of it, but maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
I think you got it right. It's very much like, it's like, the more I think about it, the more it was very much like 2012, where like entire city blocks would be pulverized.
Yeah.
You know, the human consequences of that was all done by implication rather than laid out.
I just assumed they all had miraculous escapes, every last one of them.
Oh. Well, you know that lots of people must have died because when Superman and Zod are facing off, only Perry White, the girl he was with, and I think...
Jenny.
Was that Jenny Olsen?
That was Jenny Olsen.
Was the Asian lady Jenny Olsen?
No. The other girl.
The one that was under the rubble.
The intern.
Was that Jenny Olsen?
That was Jenny Olsen.
What, are you sure?
No.
Anyway, and there was like... Anyway, about four or five of them step out. And you're like, really? At ground zero, that's the only people who walk away? You don't see anyone else in the background?
Everyone else evacuated the day before.
I see.
They're the idiots in the newspaper going, well, we better write a fucking blog post about this.
I'm always amused because Perry White, they're all standing there in horror. And then at one point, like when the shit's really hitting the fan, Perry White's like, everyone leave the building now. Like, Morpheus has spoken. And I'm sitting to myself going, sorry, Perry, I was out of that. Me, personally, Greg Waugh, I was out that building a moment, like, one moment, minutes ago. It's like running like hell. I wouldn't wait for my editor to go, oh, we better all get on the stairs now. Like, screw you guys.
Half day, everyone.
I'm
glad I'm not going to lose my pay. Great, now, okay. Oh, the elevators don't work today for some reason. Run, you fucktard.
Do you reckon there will be, like, a DC... Justice League film? Is it going to happen?
Ooh. They want...
Because this is the other thing about Superman. Mm. He's so, like, insanely overpowered. What do you even need those other losers for?
But he's vulnerable to magic, and he's...
Kryptonite.
And kryptonite. So
there was no kryptonite in the film. It was bad air conditioning.
Yeah.
He was vulnerable to bad air conditioning.
The noxious environment of the Kryptonian air.
But it wasn't. That's the same. I mean, that's the story of Kryptonite. Is that stuff from his planet affects him and makes him normal?
Well, an actual mineral called Kryptonite makes him normal.
Yeah, but the whole planet was made out of it.
It kills him. Actually, it doesn't make him normal.
Oh well.
Yeah, sorry, there are different colors of Kryptonite. Let's not go here. But
don't do that.
It's just
the relative atomic structure of the.
But it's yeah, I quite like that, though. Like, he was nourished by the air. So, yeah, anyway. Justice League. Sorry, you're talking about Justice League.
Yeah,
Justice League.
Who's, like, there's Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Green Lantern.
Aquaman.
Aquaman. Look, and Aquaman's quite powerful. I mean, let's face it.
Fucking Aquaman. What does he do?
Well,
goes for a swim.
He's the king of
look out, criminals.
That's a big
he's thing. Wearing his dick togs.
Batman in his tights and his gadgets. You've got to allow the king of seven oceans to come in.
I have no problem with Aquaman. The one I won't invite.
He's like a god.
He's Green Arrow. I don't want Green Arrow there. He's a guy with a bow. He's Hawkeye, but dressed as Robin Hood. I mean, I don't. He can't join. He's not allowed. I'm not letting him in the door. Yes, I think Avengers made so much money that they will have to make a Justice League movie.
They need more successes. They've had a couple. Like, Batman will work.
Yeah.
Superman's been sort of...
It's already...
Batman won't work
Marvel,
because...
I mean, the Hulk sucked and the Captain America sucked, but they still
Captain
able
Captain America to, did pretty
he?
Well.
Did it? Oh, okay. Well. The Hulk sucked. Okay. So they can have a failure in there and still make it work.
Like they've had Green Lantern fail entirely.
Oh, yeah.
Green Lantern sucked ass. That was an awful movie. So
Green Lantern sucked. Wonder Woman was going to suck so bad that Joss Whedon... took a contract hit and left.
That's something.
Like, he just ran dead on that project because he hated what they were doing with it.
My theory is, and they can steal this theory if they like, don't run to Justice League. Do a World's Finest first. And in the comics, World's Finest is Superman and Batman working together. And you know, so you've got the detective agents, you know, detective brain and the Superman's power. And they're quite popular comics when they work together. And maybe they can do that.
I mean, I got to admit, I never read the comics.
Yep.
I don't see how two thoroughly mismatched individuals like that.
Oh, the yin and yang, John. The yin and yang. Night and day.
But Superman could do everything, like, you know, unless someone puts kryptonite in his lunchbox.
Or magic.
At which point magic. Batman comes into his own by taking the lunchbox into another room. And then Superman goes off and does, like, everything that needs doing.
But
thank you, Courier Man. It's Batman. It's Batman. You know it's Batman.
Don't make me bring the box back. But yeah, they were Batman's detective skills. He's the world's greatest detective, John, as well. Superman's a decent journalist, but he's no detective.
He's got X-ray vision.
So?
He can look at the entire world.
Hey, that family that was going to get fried by Zod.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to them?
I assume they got away and lived happy, productive lives.
They
left the building in an unrelated car accident moments later.
Killed by the Flash.
you didn't see them, though.
No.
The implication was that they got fried.
And that's why Superman was screaming, no. I killed my only kin for no reason.
Yeah, he's like, oh, when I grabbed his head and pulled it to the side, I should have pulled it to the other side. I just cut them all in half.
I think everyone needs a drink now. Whose turn is it?
I think it's mine.
Yes! It's your round! If you're hanging at the
back of the bar, so just bounce! Like you're banging in the... You have been listening to SpartaCast. John Birmingham's new sci-fi shoot-em-up, Stalin's Hammer, can be found at momentumbooks.com.au. Greg and Dan, the Flintstone and Rubble of science, comedy and ignorance, can be found at smartenough.org. This has been a Smart Enough Bunny production. Terry Hatcher speaking. Gravy Boring Project, Suffer and See, came to take you home. I dread lyrics like spare lyrics like dread.